Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be on the air with us. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call right now at number 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about Jesus this Christmas season, and how do we know for sure that he is the Messiah? Is there credible evidence that proves that Jesus is indeed who he claimed to be? The New Testament writers point to two different facts. The fact that he was raised from the dead, that is proof that his claim to be God is true and right, and we can rely upon that. They also point to the prophetic word. There are many prophecies, I think over 300 different prophecies in the Old Testament that were all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. There were 15 specific prophecies that dealt with his birth. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures in hopes that in them you will find eternal life, but these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Well, how did the Old Testament scriptures testify about Jesus? Well, they kept giving more and more information about who this Messiah would be and how we could recognize him and know for sure that when he arrived that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. And so we have all of these different prophecies. One, for example, is the fact of his birth, his birthplace. It was in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah talked about that in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, or verse 6. He says, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. That's Micah 5, 2. So that was some 700 years before the birth of Christ, somewhere along the 8th century B.C.
Yeah.
That's a long time to wait for that prophecy to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
But Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Matthew writes about that in his gospel. Luke talks about that as well. And here's what Luke had to say. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. So we have some facts here that are on the table. We know that the Roman Empire was in place. We know Caesar Augustus was at the helm. He was the ruler at that time. And we also know that he decreed a census. And this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. So the prophet Micah prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and indeed, that's what took place. Some 700 years after that prophecy, Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus called for a census, and they had to return to their ancestral homes. And because Joseph was of the bloodline of David, they went to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
David was born in Bethlehem. King Saul was born in Bethlehem. And it is a significant place on many different levels.
Yeah.
One aspect of Bethlehem that I think is so vitally important for us to know, it was the place where most of the sheep and lambs were born and raised that were to be offered in the temple sacrifice.
That is amazing.
Bethlehem was the place. Yeah. Now you know why it's significant that God called Jesus the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. When John the Baptist saw Jesus on a particular occasion, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So the Lamb that was to be offered as the sacrifice, the once-for-all sacrifice, was born in Bethlehem, the place where sacrificial lambs were born and raised. So this town of Bethlehem has significance because Jesus became our Savior through his shed blood on the cross. He was our Lamb of God, sacrificed to take away our sins.
Right.
So a little prophecy in this obscure book in Micah is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Somebody may come along and say, no, I'm the Messiah. Well, if we read in the Word of God, it says the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. Were you born in Bethlehem?
Where were you born?
No, I wasn't. I could stand up today. I could say on radio, I'm the Messiah. And somebody with a keen mind, with a discerning spirit, would ask that question, well, where were you born? Well, I was born in Marietta, Georgia, in Kenistone Hospital, October 15th, 1958. Well, I'm sorry, your claim doesn't hold water because the Messiah was to come from Bethlehem. Yeah. And so this Word of God is made more sure to us through the prophetic Word. The fact that the story of Jesus was unfolded to us through the prophets, through 1,500 years of writing about Jesus. All of what they wrote about came true when Jesus was born.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and that's our story for today. And it is a wonderful story. It is a true story, and it's a story that we hang our hats on, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it is.
More than our hats, as a matter of fact. Plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you on this edition of the broadcast. Bob Christopher here. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us again, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are open right now. We're on the air live so that you can partake of the, can be a part of the broadcast and participate. That's the word I always look for, Bob. Instead of partake, it's actually a little bit different. So participate in the broadcast, friends. That's why we're on the air live. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. And in the meantime, Bob, a question from Ron, who says, the message being preached at our church is that the priests of Malachi 2 equate to us as the royal priesthood of 1 Peter 2:9. The message seems to mix the old with the new covenants. What lessons can we apply to our lives from these passages?
From the Old Testament passages? Mm-hmm. We look at that, and we have to recognize that much of what was written in the Old Testament was written to the people of Israel. It was a message of warning, a message of repentance, of a message of come back to the one true God. The hearts of the people strayed often. They would worship idols from foreign countries, and God would step in and say, no, I'm the one true God. Turn your hearts back toward me. And when Malachi was written, even the priest had turned their hearts away from God. And that was a letter of chastisement toward the priest. And he was saying, come back to the one true God. Well, in the new covenant, there's a whole new priesthood. The Levitical priesthood is gone.
Right.
It went away when Jesus took over as high priest. And as the writers of the New Testament, particularly Peter and John in the Revelation, they call us a holy priesthood, that the body of Christ, we who are members of the body of Christ, have become a holy priesthood so that we could proclaim forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness and placed us into light.
Yeah.
That's our job, is to give praises for what Christ Jesus has done. But we're different from the Levitical priesthood. We're totally separate, totally different. There has been a change of the priesthood. Jesus is now the high priest. He didn't come out of the Levitical line. He came out of the line of Judah.
Right.
And nowhere in the Old Testament did it say anything about a priest coming out of the line of Judah. But that's where Jesus came from. And we rise up through faith in Jesus to become a priest, part of this priesthood. But no, it's not what was talked about in Malachi at all.
Right, yeah. Ron, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to drop us an email or give us a call on the broadcast. And again, friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss. There are plenty of life issues out there, and we know that many of you are experiencing those things even as we speak. So drop us a line or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Right now, plenty of open lines at 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to mention before we go to our next question for today's broadcast about our financial need between now and December 31st. As of Saturday, looking at the contributions that have been given through Saturday, we still have $213,482 that needs to be given to meet our year-end goal. And that seems like a whole lot of money, but I guarantee you if a lot of people do a little bit, this goal will be met.
Yeah.
So as we've talked about time and time again on the broadcast in the last couple of weeks, December is a very important month for Basic Gospel. 25% of our annual income comes in those 31 days.
Yeah.
So we rely heavily on our listenership, our donor base, to give generously in the month of December.
Yeah.
So we've had a great start. We've had a fantastic start to the month of December. We want to keep that momentum going. Mm-hmm. So if you can help us today by making a contribution to Basic Gospel, contribution of $50, $100, $1,000. Maybe you can't give that much. Maybe you can give $20 or $10. I'm asking you to do so.
Yeah.
This is an important message. People all over the world are longing to be set free. They are longing for assurance. They are longing for meaning and purpose to life. Only the gospel message meets all of those needs.
Right.
Jesus is the only one that can free us from sin and death. Jesus is the only one that can give us life and guarantee that life for eternity. Jesus is the only one that can give us real purpose in our day-to-day existence. There's no other message, there's no other philosophy that can meet the most important needs of the human heart.
Yeah.
And those are of utmost importance to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter our heritage. It doesn't matter our religious upbringing. Wherever we are, deep down, at the very base level of who we are, we're all longing to be free. We're all looking for life that is abundant. We're all looking for purpose. Jesus is the only one that can deliver on those needs. So this message about Jesus needs to be supported. If you want to be a part of the solution out there in the world today, a part of taking a message to the hearts of people all over the world, Basic Gospel is a wonderful place to hook up with.
Yeah.
So come join us. Be a part of what God is doing in the world through this outreach to meet the most basic human needs, spiritual needs, that are out there. Mm-hmm. Folks will be connected to the love of Christ. Folks will experience freedom. This message will bring harmony to broken relationships, marriages. It will help mom and dads take care of their kids in a better way. It will bring hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, encouragement to those who are in despair. Come join us. Be a part. Give today. It's an incredible ministry that you can have in the lives of people.
All around the world, I think you said, because of our entree into oneplace.com, we had reached into, 121 different countries, I believe,
since we started. That's right.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing. So it is a ministry that reaches literally around the world, and in addition to right here in the States as well. So if you can be a part of that, go online to basicgospel.net, click the support link, and you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours as well, 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC, and that's opposed to the other number, which is our online number. So give the operator a call, 844-41-BASIC, or go online to basicgospel.net and click that support link. We would love to hear from you. We need to hear from you today.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines now. We're going to start in Flushing, New York on to and talk with Young, who's listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Young. Are you there, Young? Well, let's put him on hold, and let's try Robert in Corpus Christi. Hi, Robert.
Hi, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm listening to your show for the first time here. I like it. I have a question. I'm a new, born-again Christian, but I have a question as to what church is more closer as far as to the truth. Are the Catholics more closer or the Protestants? Because I know they differ mainly on their doctrines.
Well, the Catholic Church has a longer tradition. I mean, they're older than the Protestant faith. But one of the reasons that Martin Luther protested the Catholic position was he felt like they had strayed from the biblical message of justification by faith. So he wanted to call the Catholic Church back to that great doctrine. They were relying on works, indulgences, those sort of things as means of gaining acceptance in God's sight, in God's eyes. But none of that can happen. We can't earn our way into God's good graces. That is a gift that God bestows upon us through faith in Jesus Christ. So this great doctrine of justification by faith was kind of brought back into the forefront, was made visible to the people. And that's what Luther protested against. And so Protestantism, was given birth way back then. But the Church of Jesus Christ is neither Catholic nor Protestant. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of all believers who have accepted Jesus Christ by faith, have been born again into the kingdom of God. That's what makes up the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, we see it, Catholic and Protestant, and then within the Protestant side, there are many, many, many different denominations, different viewpoints of what that Protestant faith should look like. So we see all of these divisions. We see all of these lines of separation. But from God's vantage point, he simply sees the world and either folks who are either lost or folks who are saved. And those who are saved, those who have been made alive in Christ, who have been marked out by God's Holy Spirit, those are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. So in heaven, there's not going to be a Catholic church or a Protestant church. There's just going to be people who have named the name of Jesus.
So how do you go about choosing the church? Because I've been going to a Catholic church, and they seem okay, but there are some other, I do question some of their beliefs, like when they rose up the belief about Mary was also sinless, the Immaculate Conception. I'm kind of like, I don't know about that.
Well, Robert, that's what I'm talking about. That's one of those traditions. You're not going to find anything about that in the Word of God. That's a tradition of the Catholic Church. That is not a position that the Bible has to take or takes. Now, should we honor Jesus or Mary as the mother of Jesus? Absolutely. But that's as far as we need to take it. She was not sinless, as a matter of fact. Jesus was her Savior, just like he's my Savior and your Savior. She had to be saved from her sins, just like everyone else. Jesus was the only one that was born sinless. So we learn to take things that are presented to us and bounce it off the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard of truth, nothing else.
And the other problem I had is when they were talking about purgatory, which I didn't find that in the Bible, but as a Catholic friend of mine told me, he said, it's not an actual place, it's a process. So I'm like, okay. So now you threw me in the loop. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, Robert, so you're new in Christ. Is that what I understand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, let us put you on hold and get some information from you. We have some wonderful resources that I think can help you build a really solid foundation early on in your relationship with Christ. And as far as a church group, God knows what you need. And I would simply ask him and trust him to direct you to the right place for you. God knows that you need to be with other believers. God knows that you need the encouragement, that you need to be stimulated to love and good deeds. And so trust him to lead you to the right place. And I think that place will be strong in the Word of God, will have an uncompromising position as far as the authority of the Bible, will be strong about Jesus and his finished work on the cross and this new life that we can have, that we have in him. So just trust the Lord to lead you in the right direction. Well, let me put you on hold, Robert. We'll get some information and send some great resources to you. Okay, my friend?
And welcome into the family.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we'll go and talk with Wayne in New Jersey, listening on WMCA in just a moment. But, you know, kind of feeding into what you're saying about the resources available through the ministry, Bob, you know, sometimes life is tough. It can hit us hard and hurt us deeply. And in those times, it's hard to give thanks. But, you know, that's what God really calls us to, as Paul wrote, that we're to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And if you're struggling right now with some particular issue, feeling overwhelmed by life, we have a new booklet called, it's 42 Hope-Filled Truths That Will Overflow Your Heart with Thankfulness. It's called Hear, Believe, and Live, Your Identity in Christ. It's yours free to read online or to download, or you can order hard copies from basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. We hope you'll take advantage of it, because it's a wonderful collection of scripture passages that will bring you to peace in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith and trust in him and a thankful attitude as well. It's called Your Identity in Christ, and it's yours free, as I said.
Well, yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Wayne, who's listening to us on WMCA in New Jersey. Hi, Wayne.
How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today, my friend?
Great, great. In the book of Romans, I've been reading, on verse 20, it says, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abound much more. Can you explain that to me?
Well, sure can. You sure can, Wayne. We need to know that we need a Savior before we will turn to a Savior for salvation. If I think I'm okay, if I think everything's all right about me, then I have no need for Jesus, and I have no need for the life that he has come to give me. And so God used the law in a spiritual way to show us our need for Christ. So if, for example, Wayne, you think you're okay and you just need a few rules and regulations to follow and you can really show to God just how good you are, what you're going to find out is just how sinful you really are. So if you try, Wayne, to live up to those Ten Commandments, for example, you're going to find yourself wanting to commit all of them. To some degree or another, and that's what the law does. It shows us just the depths of our sinfulness, so that we can turn to Christ by faith. And that's exactly what this passage is saying to us. You know, like I said, Wayne, we all think we're basically good people. That's just not true. Try to be good. Try the best that you can, and you're going to find out just how sinful you are. And in finding out just how sinful you are, you will know how much you need Jesus. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so have you come to Jesus for life? Have you come to know him personally?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That is just the best news ever, that you have been made alive together in Christ. But you would have never known your need for him until you saw that, how sinful you really were as a person. Well, Wayne, let me put you on hold. We'll send you these resources that we sent to the other gentleman. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. And Bob, as we close the broadcast, I want to remind our listeners that it's impossible to overstate the importance of supporting Basic Gospel as we reach out in North America and literally around the world with the truth of God's love, grace, and saving life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help. Please go online to basicgospel.net or call our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, asking you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.